Hello and welcome to the EURETINA interviews on AMD innovations. I'm Dr. Anat Lowenstein, and today I'm joined by Dr. Sebastian Wolf and Raminta Dayoni. Welcome. Together, we will discuss unmet clinical needs in neovascular macular degeneration treatment and how emerging therapeutics, artificial intelligence, and other treatment approaches are addressing them. We'd like to thank Roche Incyte for providing independent medical education support. The first part will focus on AMD treatment burden. And I would like to ask my two esteemed panelists a few questions. First of all, and the question is addressed to Professor Sebastian Wolf first, and then we'll also want to hear Professor Raminta Dayoni. What percentage of your patients are compliant with their treatment timeframes? Sebastian?
Yeah, Anat, I think during times before COVID, we had about 80% of patients which have been compliant, but COVID has changed this. So patients tend to come later in many cases. So I would say it's only 60 to 70%, but we have a very strict recall system. So every patient who is not showing up is called again. And so we reduce these time gaps and our patients are quite compliant, I feel.
Well, that's Switzerland, right? I think all over the world, I think the numbers may be lower than that. Ramin, how, Professor Tadayoni, how is it in France?
So the general compliance in France may not be so high. I would say 70-75%, depending of the definition of compliance. Is the patient coming a few days later is compliant or not? But a few years ago, we noticed that and we worked a lot on this. And especially in my department, we set up a very separate department and part for these patients coming every month. And we had some kind of contract with them. So they never stay more than 2 hours in the department. They choose the day of the week they prefer. And we have other arrangement to make life easier for them. And with this, we improved up to 90% the compliance of the patient. And most of them, they have a good compliance. But also per definition, those who completely miss the visits, we don't know them. We just call them, we ask them, but some of them, they say they change doctors or they change location or they moved home. We don't exactly know. But in any way, it's a burden for everyone. It's a burden for everyone.
Yeah.
I can agree with this with Ramin. I think it's very important if you organize your treatment clinic very well and tell the patients before what they are expected to do. And if you explain them to have something like Ramin, like a contract, I think this is a very good method to have patients being more compliant than just to say, yeah, you can come back or something like this.
I think it's a great idea. I think, Sebastian, you pointed out really the important thing that Ramin said. It is really a great idea to make a contract with the patients. In our hands in Israel, the compliance is not very good. We do not have a system to call the patients who do not show up. Patients that come late, too late, and are delaying their appointment, then yes, we're accepting them willingly. But the patients who do not show up, we do not have a system to call them up. And therefore, we still see many patients that just are either non-persistent to their treatment or not adherent to their treatments. And as Ramin said, it's also a matter of definition. If a patient that is delayed is considered non-compliant, or if a patient that is delayed is still considered compliant. So this also makes a difference in the definitions. It is completely different if a patient just doesn't show up anymore. So I think it is a problem all over the world, and various systems have various ways to deal with it. So let's try and understand what are the reasons for the patients to be non-compliant. Some of them was already alluded in the previous session. Maybe Ramin, you start now. The patients that are non-compliant, maybe start with the 75% that you had before doing your change in your routine and the 10% that are still non-compliant even with this excellent system that you are leading now.
I think the very material reasons are really the reason people are not compliant. It's the distance to come, how they should come, with who they should come. And this is the main reason in France, given the fact that people in France don't know even the price of the treatment they have, and Social Security is able to even they reimburse the taxi coming here to the hospital. So we have a very good coverage that could be a problem in many other countries, but here it is not. But very practical issues are a problem. That's why when we identified that, we proposed the preferred day of the patient, because his or her son or daughter may have a free day during the week and it's easier for them, and the compliance will improve if we propose them the right day. And we also try to find for patients who are very far, another doctor who is closer to their home to improve the, to decrease the burden. And I think very material things here are the main problem.
Sebastian, reason?
I can echo this very much. I think most of our patients have their appointment and a day where they know they have someone to drive them. I think the main reason is a medical problem, other medical problem patients have, which prevent them to come at the date. So we know this because we call every patient if he's not showing up. And I would say more than 90% of these patients missing a visit have a medical problem, which makes it necessary to postpone the visit. This is the main reason.
So we heard two main reasons here. One is other medical issues. And I think we're talking about AMD patients, but if we'll talk about DME patients, it will be even worse because these patients have many other appointments. So this is one thing. And the other thing is technical issues. I think that various studies showed, and I was really surprised by that, that the distance from the clinic makes a big difference. To me, it's a big surprise, maybe because in Israel, everything is so close by. But I think what you are doing, Ramin, just finding other clinics where patients can go and see physicians may be also a good solution to this particular issue of distance. Of course, it doesn't solve the issue of the caretakers, the caregivers that need to come with them and lose a day of work and all that. How about lack of efficacy? Does lack of efficacy seem to be, like someone says, in any event, the treatment doesn't help me. Is that a reason for non-compliance? Sebastian?
Probably it's a reason, but most patients, so since we switched to treat and extend, we don't have a lot of these losers, let's say it. Most patients at least stabilize. And if you explain them in the beginning very well that stabilization is already a success, most patients are happy with it. And the patients who are losing, they are maybe even more keen to come more often to get more injections. This is my impression. I don't think lack of efficacy is a real problem.
Ramin, any other thoughts?
I think what Sebastian says is very important, the explanation at the beginning.
Right.
Because what happens is that one third of the patient, they don't really gain so much. And one third of them, they gain at the beginning, then they are stabilized. So at some point they say, okay, nothing is changing right now because you are treating them very well. Basically, you stabilize the situation. And what Sebastian said is the explanation before you begin the treatment is critical. You just really explain what's going to happen. It's going to improve, then it will be stable, but we should not stop because if we stop, then it will decrease and we may not recover everything. So if the explanation is done well, and not only once, because at the beginning when you have the diagnosis, there's so many things ongoing. In a regular basis, there should be some education of the patient.
So this brings us to the last question for this topic on the treatment burden. And then you answered some of it. Let's just summarize, recap, and see if we have some more suggestions. What recommendations could we have for physicians to improve their patients' compliance? I think what was voiced here already, first of all, is the explanation. And I also find that if you explain to the patient upfront that he will need many injections and that And two, that stabilization is really the goal and not necessarily improvement. So this is important too. Then the distance from the clinic, like Professor Tadayoni said, and shortening the time in the clinics. And like you said, Professor Wolf, to really explain to the patients what's expected for them, to call them if they are not coming. These are all suggestions to improve the compliance. Any other suggestions that we can give retina specialists all over the world how to improve the compliance of the patients?
I'm a big fan of proactive treatment, which means treatment extended in most cases, or fixed treatment. Because if you do PRN, there's always the insecurity of the patient. Would he get injections or no, if it's necessary to go or not? And so I think this has improved our compliance or the compliance of our patients quite a lot.
I fully agree with Sebastian. I mean, PRN is in theory very good and we use it in some patients, but you're always on the edge of the cliff. So if the patient doesn't come, you just fall on the cliff. But with what's called proactive or other regimen, you have some margin of error possible. The other recommendation I would have is just think about what we are not doing right. When many patients are not compliant, saying, yeah, what's the problem? I can imagine that it's easier for a department because we are many here. But if you are a single doctor, and you go to a holiday, what do you do with the patient? If you just say them, okay, not an issue, we'll miss 1 month and we'll see the next month, or we will miss 2 weeks, then you can't expect the patient not doing the other way around. So I think it's always good also to just say, it's not just a problem of the patient, what I can do to improve that.
I think that these are excellent points. I think that just to recap, we're talking about distance from the clinic, shortening the time in the clinic, explaining to the patients very well, and being consistent with the patients and their requirements from ourselves, maybe by way of fixed treatment, treat and extend, and just to be very strict about their appointments. Also, us not to miss the appointments, all of this can be very helpful. So topics we discussed today covered a range of exciting innovations in the management of neovascular macular degeneration today. These new therapies that were mentioned by both of you, Professor Tadayoni and Professor Wolf, will greatly improve the ability of the retina specialists to treat their patients effectively while decreasing the number of injections as well as practice visits. I hope that these EURetina interviews advance your understanding of emerging technologies and treatment options for neovascular macular degeneration.